Wow. You know what you say? Thank you, Carol. In the power of his love. A gentleman, I'll call this man, was tailgating this car in front of him. And as the car was going slower and slower and so on and so forth, the man was getting more angrier as the time went on. Pretty soon the red light was ahead and the yellow light came on, and the driver in front, of course, slowed way down and stopped at the red light. And this guy was so angry, he got out of his car and started yelling in profanity at the driver in front of him. And I mean, he just wouldn't stop. And finally, the light turned green, jumped back in his car. But by the time he got back in his car, there was a knock on his window. He rolled down the window. Here was the policeman. He said, pull over. So he pulled over. He said, get out of your car, put your hands on the car, whatever. So what's the matter? He says, there's nothing wrong with cursing and swearing. He said, well, he says, I was following you there. And he said, I see on the back of your car, you have this tail. What would Jesus do? You also had a sign on it that says, God is love. You also had a sign on there of the fish. And he also said on that, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I figure you must have stolen this car. Yeah. We've been looking at the context and the matter of morality that is found in the book of Proverbs. And last week we introduced to you the subject matter of idleness or laziness and all the passages that are there within the proverb letter that relates to that and the price a person pays for being lazy, being slothful. And if you want that message, you can get it. It's on recording. You can take it and read it and study it. But the basic concepts of being idle or lazy, of course, is that a person of that nature has no self-respect. And whatever self-respect they may have, they're going to lose it. And they will end up paying the price for that laziness, according to Proverbs, right? Folding of the hand, a little sleep, a little slumber, comes poverty, comes hunger, etc. And so we know that we can appeal to the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, where Paul says, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. What a principle. That ought to be maybe evaluated by our government today. Because what is destroying our economy is the fact that there are, and I think we're all basically, if we really are honest, lazy. And what that element, of course, is that it just reproduces a concept of a society of irresponsibility and entitlement, etc. Okay? But what I want to look at you today is sort of like this gentleman, man, in the back seat, or the car driving. The subject is anger. Proverbs deals that anger, if you will, is the high road of sin. Anger is the leaven that is eating and destroying our country today. People are angry. There is no ifs, ands about it. And one of the most common marks of our humanity is how powerful this emotion is and how it can indeed bring resentment, bitterness. It can drive people to murder, rioting, destroying other people's property, becoming like, if you will, animals with no self-respect, no control, completely out of control. It's defined as a strong feeling aroused by a real or a supposed wrong that has occurred to them. And it's amazing how many people feel they have been mistreated, they have been wronged, and they are angry about it today. And Proverbs has an awful lot to say about that because all of us, to some degree, I believe, have experienced some form of anger. Anger which experiences itself in the urge to retaliate, to get even, and aspects of it. And what we do is we refer to it as a surge of anger, which I saw that in my stepdad. My stepdad, I mean, as a little guy, And that surge of anger and how it came out of him and what he did, how many holes were smashed in the window, how many times we saw mom with bloody noses and you name it. I mean, just out of control, right? Surge. Out of nowhere. I was so afraid to walk by my dad because I never knew when I was going to be picking myself up off the floor. Because whatever he was angry at wasn't me. Okay? But he was an angry man. And so when anything and everything was there, it came out of him. Anger can become so abusive and so cruel and hurt and harm so many different people. And Proverbs deals with it in depth in the aspects of what it can do. Proverbs makes it very clear that anger in itself can and will become very destructive. Okay? But I want to clarify something. When Moses came down off in the mountain and he saw Israel embellished in idolatry and all types of immorality, he got angry. And he broke the Ten Commandments. Right? He did, didn't he? Yeah, he got angry. I do believe I have read in the book of Matthew while Jesus went into the temple and he saw that they were making God's house a place of money-making rather than a place of prayer. I believe he got angry. And I believe he tipped over the tables and threw everything out and whatever and was moved by that anger, right? You know, the Bible warns Israel and all of us over and over again about God's anger. You know that, don't you? Yeah, it does. Okay. The anger of God. And it talks about it very clearly. So let's make something clear today. All right? Anger in itself is not a sin. Okay? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Anger is a God-given emotion, isn't it? And anger can be a good emotion if it's held in the reins in which it and why it was given to us. I don't know about you, but when I read about a little child or children or women over in the over across in other places, and I see what ISIS and others are doing to them and using them and how little children's heads have been cut off and whatever. I don't know, but that makes me angry. And if you don't get angry about that kind of stuff, there's something wrong with you. Right? When you see innocent people, lives being massacred and completely, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. It really is. It makes me angry. It really does. And the aspects of that. But it says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Remember that in our passage this morning? Why? Don't give the devil an opportunity. Bitterness, resentment, and murder all begins, first of all, with somebody getting angry. Not dealing with it, going to sleep on it, rehearsing it, looking at the cause of it, and allowing that anger to turn into hate, bitterness, and so on. That's why we're warned in the Bible, in 1 John, that even if we hate our brother, we've already committed murder. You know that? It says that, doesn't it? However, I know that anger can lead to so much abuse over my years of preaching and ministry and interrelating with people. It's amazing what I've had to see and experience of what especially has occurred in the domestic realm of family life. And it breaks my heart. The surge of anger and what it can do and what it does and how it affects the people. The abusive language, you know, that comes out of people's mouths. The action, the violence, and any other thing that is so destructive as it interrelates and comes upon another person and the aspects of that. James 1:19 states, anyone must be quick to hear and slow to anger. It's something you and I need to learn that it's all right, but it needs to be controlled. It needs to be harnessed. We can't allow it to go to bed at night angry. That means husbands and wives ought to resolve whatever it is that's caused one of them or both of them to become angry. You go to bed on it, sleep on it, and don't do something about it, I guarantee you, Satan will take advantage of it. He will. He will. It needs to be resolved. It needs to be taken care of. And it needs to be taken care of now. You see, and I have to say to you, as I look at what's gone over there in France and the semi-trucks being run into people, and I see what has gone on in our major cities today and the rioting and people that are there and how they've been hurt and harmed. And the papers don't tell you that in our major cities, 15 people have been killed by those who have been rioting. Did you read that in the paper? You hear that on the liberal newscast of what has happened as a result. Do you know that Soros and those millionaires pay people to go do that? You know how much they get paid if they'll riot and destroy property? Each one of them that has been hired by those millionaires to destroy and to cause rioting in our country, each individual is paid $5,000. The love of money is the root of all evil, people. And if you're ignorant of that and what's going on, and you think the problem is, no, the battle is against light and darkness. The battle is against righteousness and unrighteousness. The battle is against evil and that which is right in the eyes of God. That is where the war is, and it is indeed a war going on in our country today. Satan against God today. I don't know if you understand that or not. But I do know this. I do know this. They're not going to win. They can't win because I really believe that God is a God who does something very clearly. If God does not get angry, if God doesn't get angry at all the wickedness and the evil and something of that, and doesn't punish the wrongdoer of men, and he would not bring his judgment upon them, how can you then call him a just God? Is God just or isn't he? Does he not warn us in his word that he will bring judgment upon the wicked, upon the evil? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, and whatever a person sows, don't you think you can mock God? You sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. And the aspects of that. You see, God's goodness demands that he punish the wicked. You understand that? It demands it. It demands it. God cannot be a good God and stand back and watch all the evil being caused upon evil, innocent people. He can't. And he won't. People think they're getting away with something, don't they? You know, I mean, it's amazing that they don't know that God's judgment is sure. That's why the Bible says, leave room for the wrath of God. We all think there's a judgment day coming, right? Huh? Well, yeah, there is. But I want you to know, people are going to answer for what they do wrong in the here and the now. God isn't going to wait till the judgment day. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You see, everything backfires on people like that. You know who kills the people in the mafia? Other people in the mafia. See, everything turns on itself. Read Proverbs. Did you notice that in Proverbs? How evil turns against evil sooner or later? And that destroys itself? You know, it is amazing to me that that is not how we see it. But no, Proverbs 14:29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding. But he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Stirs the water. Cause issues and problems to develop in the context, okay? And that's what Proverbs 14:29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Wow. That would really benefit some people in a marriage relationship, wouldn't it? Gentle answer, calmly, you know. Okay, honey. In case you didn't know it, I'm the boss of my house, and whatever my wife says is going to get done. Just understand that, okay? But a harsh answer stirs up anger. Isn't that what it says? Now think about it, okay? Proverbs 19, verse 11. Proverbs 19, verse 11. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. It's to his glory, you know, to overlook certain things. We've all been wronged, haven't we? Huh? But isn't it sometimes to our benefit and to God's glory and our glory just to move on in life and not let it be a distraction to us and cause us to be able to be angered and dwell on it? Some people, in fact, I talked to my doctor, Dr. Hoisington. He's a Christian doctor. And I asked him, I said, what do you think is going on? We talk spiritual things, okay? And I said, why do you think, what is going on with, why is it that so many people are sick today? I said, I know I've read and studied in Scripture, especially in Proverbs and Psalms, what I believe is identified as what I call is a psychological concept of sickness that develops in a person. And he said, the number one ingredients that we're finding people ending up in hospitals and having to whatever is that people are angry. The psychosomatic illnesses. That when you have this anger, it will eat at you. And what do you do with it? Well, I'll tell you what men do with it. Men, when they're angry, they dump it into their colons. They dump it inside the colons, okay? What do women do with it? What do you do with the anger that is encompassed? You've got to express it, okay? Go ahead, put a hole in the wall and break your fist. See if that helps. You know? Think about it. Anger and the aspects of it. The aspects of it. You can't just take that anger and just dismiss it. It will eat at you on the inside. It really will. And it will affect you physically, mentally, in every way. It'll affect your nerves. It'll affect you internally. Have you not noticed how many young men in their late 30s and early 40s are dying from heart attacks? Have you noticed that lately? You shared with me a statistic that so much of that is simply they can't deal with the stress and what is happening in our society, and they're angry. And that anger is there, and it affects them. Luke 21 says that men's hearts will be failing them for fear of that which is coming upon the earth. Have you ever read that? Fear of what's coming upon the earth. And the aspects of it. Aren't you glad you're a Christian and that you have faith in God, that you know He's in control, and that if God's for you, nothing can be against you? You have nothing to be angry about, that God's going to take care of it. Cast all your anxieties upon me, God says, because I care for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God, accompanied with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. You see, God knew we'd have to deal with anxiety. God knew we'd deal with the stress in this world. But God says, I care. I love you. Let me bear it. Cast it on me. I'll take care of you. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? To know that? To have the faith that that is true? Okay? Proverbs 29 and 20. Proverbs 29 and 20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. You ever note sometimes when I'm preaching, I really get going. I've slowed down a little bit from my older days. But when I really get going, my wife says that my tongue is ahead of my brain. Whatever that means, okay? Hasty. I say things that I haven't got here yet, okay? And aspects of that. So, point, being hasty in your words, there's more hope for a fool. What does that mean? It means you ought to process things and think it through before it comes out of here. Know what it means? Huh? Yeah. How about Proverbs 29:22? Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions. Okay? All anger, all temper, being bad-tempered, all that does is brings up and causes sin, produces it. That's all it does, over and over again. Proverbs 19:19 again, going back to the 19th chapter and the 19th verse, a man of great anger will bear the penalty for it. And for if you rescue him, you'll only have to do it again. That's interesting, isn't it? Somebody who can't control their anger, can't control their anger, can't control their anger, that basically all they do is you just have to try to rescue them again. And rescue. Can't be done. It can't be done, okay? So it's very apparent, if I understand the book of Proverbs, that anger in itself needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be dealt with now. And don't let the sun go down on it. Don't harbor it. Don't allow it to eat at you. Because if you do, Satan is coming, and he'll take advantage of it, and he will turn it into a very destructive, unbelievable act that you will perform an aspect. There's nothing more deadly in a human heart than to harbor and to have ill feelings about another person. My Bible says forgive. What does yours say? And if you won't forgive others their trespasses against you, neither will God forgive your transgressions. You know what your Bible says? Yeah. Forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself. You understand that? It's a gift you give to yourself. Take the load off. Take the burden off. Take the stress off. Take the anger off. By doing what? Forgive. Let go of it. Because if you don't, it's not going to let go of you. And it will harbor itself, and it will control so much of your individuality you may not even recognize it. And the point of this. So it's very apparent. Solomon is comparing the wise man and the fool, isn't he? Huh? You know what a fool is? I know my Bible warns me, call no man a fool. What is yours? Does it warn you? But if God calls him a fool, then all I can do is quote him, right? Because it says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God, right? So in Proverbs, you see the word fool every once in a while. A fool is a person who knows and has the knowledge and goes directly opposite of it. That's a fool. Okay? I think there's a lot of foolishness going on in the world today, don't you? I think people know better, don't you? But what they know and they know is right, they're going adverse to it, and we see a lot of foolish behavior today, don't we? And the proverb letter deals with an awful lot more than the concept of idleness and anger, and we'll look at two or three others. If you read the book, you'll see that there is so much that the father is warning his sons again. Then saying, listen to your mother, listen to your father, give heed to what they have to say. Grain the wisdom they're trying to fill your head with and your heart with, because it's going to keep you from many, many, many unbelievable harms and issues in your life. Yeah, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. 4 times Solomon said that to his boys. When's the last time you read Proverbs? When's the last time you sat down with your children? There's a good little book. I have it at home. It's on making Proverbs live that I had every one of my kids read. And it just paraphrases the Proverbs, but it makes them so clear and so vivid in what is being said. Okay? But the point again is the wise man, as you know, is industrious. He works. He puts himself to the task. He is responsible. He takes responsibility in every aspect. While the foolish man is lazy, irresponsible, etc. The wise man keeps his temper, his anger and his tongue under control, and the foolish man gives way and loses it. Remember, a soft answer turns away anger or wrath. A soft answer, okay? So a careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill. A brutal word may strife and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light a day. A timely word may lessen stress. A loving word may heal and bless. Remember our first sermons on Proverbs? I quoted from the book of Ephesus, where Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and says these words, "Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth." The word wholesome, unwholesome, is the word wholesome. Wholesome is the idea that when I speak to you, when I get done, you're going to feel whole. In other words, you can tear a person's life and shred them up in pieces with words, can't you? James talks about this little tongue like a match that lights a fire and burns and destroys a whole forest. James talks about the tongue, how come you can have bitter water and sweet water? Come on, he said you can't. You can't have good water, sweet water, and brutal. No, you can't. That little thing, he said, if you could control that little thing, you could control your whole body. That little thing. It's called the tongue, right? Think about it and the aspects of it, because he went on. When I want to speak to my wife, I want to make sure when I'm done, I've helped her to feel good about herself, whole, complete. I'm not going to tear her apart. I'm not going to use her for my self-gratification like a lot of people are today in this narcissistic world where they're literally destroying people's lives with the tongue. No. He says, let every word that comes out of your mouth be for the purpose of edifying, building up. That it might, what? Administer grace upon the hearer. Wow. Pray about it. Think about it. We're living in an angry world today. Not like it. That's not something new, but it's out of control today. It really is. And you and I don't know about you, but I am very careful when I'm driving today. I'm serious. I stay back from cars. I don't get anybody's way. I make sure if I can see them coming, I pull over, I let them go. I'm not going to, because I'm telling you, this is an angry world. I have been whatever, and I've been whatever, and whatever, and I'm not going to cause that other person to have to do that. Okay? I could say, well, I have my rights. No, I don't. I have no rights. No, I don't even live anymore. I'm dead. I died in Christ. I am a bondservant. That means I have no rights. Only God has the right. And I know that I'm called upon to live and be a peacemaker. And I pray to God that He'll help me do that to the best of my ability. Because I can get angry. I'm sure you can too, right? And you can let things like that get to you, right? But just remember, when you let anger get to you, that this may be something you're going to be sorry for. Right? So, God bless you. Thank you for listening. God be with you and you and my walk with the Lord. And let His word ring true. Don't listen to me. Listen to His word. Look at what He warns us about. God created us. And there's nothing more fulfilling than having a joyful heart. Didn't you love that song that Carol played? Wasn't that soothing? Wasn't that meaningful? You know, let the love of God fill your heart. Demonstrate it. Let it be shed abroad. Show people that you are filled with God's love. Demonstrate it. Amen. That's what the world needs to see is God's love. He really does. So God be with you. Let's stand together, if you will, and we're going to sing our closing hymn together right now.